Sundry was a dramatic finish with a very late injury time winner to take us 10 points clear at the top of the league, and now virtually over the line for our 8th league title in a row. Our next home game is against our nearest challengers, and with their form and ours, that should see us move to 13 points clear and just a handful of wins away from the title. So we've got Stephen Ray on the podcast talking about Sunday's game, and also we have a wee bit of a chat about where we see the future of management. So I'm now joined by Stephen Ray. How are you doing?
Good, Harry. Yourself?
I'm good, thanks. I don't think I'm telling tales out of school, because I think you've had it online.
What's that?
Your house is up for sale.
Yes, it's...
How's it going?
A lot of time wasters. Yeah, I mean, the nowadays you get a home report, so it tells you what the house has been valued at.
Yeah.
And you're getting people still coming to view it. They come round. The house is immaculate. My wife's an absolute OCD freak, right? So you get people come round, they're like, oh, it's like a show home, it's beautiful. And then they'll tell the estate agents, that's too dear. Anyway, my wife's pulling her hair out. She hates uncertainty. Everything has to be, you know, I need to know exactly what's happening. So, and the clock is ticking because we've reserved another house. So
it's the time of year, unfortunately. Yeah. It is, without sounding like a property surgery, it is the time of year. It is compounded by Brexit.
Yeah, well, that's the excuse I keep hearing. Well, if anybody out there is interested in a three-bed semi-detached in the south side of Glasgow, then give me a shout. Anyway,
maybe we need to get, if we get a new manager after Lennon, maybe he'll be looking for a three-bed
series. I can rent it out to him. Klopp, he's currently renting Brendan Rodgers' old house, isn't he?
Exactly so. Yeah. Anyway, let's say, so we're recording this on Tuesday night. How did you enjoy Sunday against Dundee?
I don't know if enjoy is... I think relieved was the word in the end, because even though Rangers they've been absolute murder... Well, shite, if you want to call it, for the last few weeks. We were almost letting them in the door again, because coming up to the next game, Celtic Rangers, we've got an international break, so that tension starts to build that Celtic have yet again failed to pull clear. And it means, and all the chat's going to be, well, if Rangers win, that's down to five, and then Celtic have still got to go to Ibrox. So I think that goal right at the death, I think, pretty much killed that stone dead, thankfully. But it wasn't a great game. It was pretty turgid stuff, to be fair.
So talk me through the game, because you're right. So that was my thoughts, that it was pretty turgid stuff. And then I watched Sports Scene. And the amount of time that the first half fixtures were going on, I then started to think to myself, right, there's a lot more action happened in the first... Because Sports Scene's only got something like 2.5 minutes or 3 minutes per... I think they're allowed one game at 5 minutes and then the other game's at 2.5 minutes or something like that.
In 20 minutes analysis.
And the amount of time that they were showing off first half action, I thought to myself, right, if I hadn't seen it earlier, I would know that nothing happened in the second half, because the amount of action they're showing in the first. But I actually demonstrated we were better than I thought in the first half.
I
thought. We had more chances than I recalled in the first half.
I think if Celtic had scored 20 minutes in and seen the game out 1-0, I don't think anybody would have been bothered. I think it's because, yet again, we've went right to the death before we've managed to break another team down. I think that's where the anxiety has kicked in. I think everybody's thinking, oh, the next game's Rangers, we're not playing well. I think a lot of things made the game feel worse than it maybe actually was. I've seen comments saying, you know, Celtic won the game undeservedly, but we had 24 attempts on goal, 8 on target, all the possession, 70-plus possession. You know, we were the team looking to try and win the game, so I still think we deserve to win the game, but I don't think we created enough. We don't think we get in behind enough. And, Edward didn't get that many chances other than the one that he pretty much created for himself. So, Yeah, the first half, well, maybe Brown had a good shot from distance, nobody followed up. But I can't really think of too many chances beyond that that was, you know, keeper pulling it out of the top corner or anything like that. So,
what did you think of the Sinclair penalty, Clean?
I mean, I think it's a penalty. It's a foul. Well, put it this way, Toljan get two yellow cards for, well, one of the yellow cards he got was for a similar incident.
Yeah.
You know, I think if it's in the edge of the box, we get it. But for some reason, those ones, sometimes you get, sometimes you don't. I thought it might be on first viewing, I wasn't convinced until I seen it the second time. Then you're like, well, it's a clear tug. So, and people were saying the one on Morelos that he get booked for against Aberdeen was a penalty. And it's not too dissimilar to that.
No, it's not.
So, I think it's a penalty. It's one that you're, if it goes against you, I think you're probably having a go at your own defender for being stupid. But I think if we score there, we probably go on and win the game. You know,
I think
2-3
And that's the point that I remember meeting on the podcast last year, and in the first two months of this season, that the difference in Brendan Rodgers' first season and a good chunk of last season, the first 2 months of this, was we would score a relatively early goal and then game's over and it's how many do we go on and score. Whereas, and in the last few years, that's been the same under Brendan, it's been the same under Lennon, it was the same under Ronnie Dyla. If we got midway into the second half without scoring, it then started to look quite ponderous and repetitive, our attempts on it. So if we go back to the beginning, what was your thoughts on the team? So the team was an odd one because it was Bain in goals with Toljan at right back and Lustig and Ayer as the centre-halves with Tierney at left back. McGregor was back, so we had McGregor and Brown. And then we had Johnson as the number...
Mikey Johnson,
as the number
Forrest,
10.
Forrest,
Sinclair and Edward. So what did you make of that team?
I wasn't sure why Lustig's in at centre-half. If Benkovic is fit to be on the bench, I always have this feeling that you go with your best team, and if the guy who's maybe just come back from injury doesn't last, then make that change. But I'm not convinced we Lustig anymore at right-back, so I'm even less convinced of him at centre-half. But then Dundee, they're not a team that's going to come at us too much, other than Kenny Miller's he's a wily old fox, if you want to call it. Mm-hmm. You know, he knows how to play that position. And yeah, I think because we had a lot of possession, I don't think the back four really get troubled too much. I'm not really getting the Mikey Johnson thing just now. I think he's a player. I think there's a player in there, and I know Mark Cooper rates him highly, but I think he's a boy who maybe needs a year out at a team that do play good football and is going to play 25-30 games a season. I just don't think he's ready yet for the Celtic first team, especially when you've got Burke and Weir. Although Weir's at the same age roughly, I think Weir comes from a higher starting point.
Do you know that's the thing that surprised me about the team was Mikey Johnson. I mean, you could argue Mikey Johnson, when we had no strikers, when Edward was injured and Griffiths was out prior to Christmas, Mikey Johnson played well in 2 or 3 games, and suddenly, you know, he's then pulled and he deserved his shot. But there's another part of me thinks, right, okay, so Burke has scored goals and Weir has changed games when he's come on. So I found it quite odd that Mikey Johnson was ahead of him in the selection. And then that gets back to the Aberdeen game and then this game, where I was surprised, put it that way, to put it mildly, I was surprised at the choice of substitutions of Neil Lennon that I don't know. I don't know when maybe he doesn't fancy Weir, because, you know, he's
or
not,
is it Or is it, it's already been spoke about in the background that he's going to go back and it's more a, well, it's persist with our own player than someone else's player? I'm guessing, you know, on that one.
Yeah, but I mean, the other side of that is, yeah, but he was always only going to be here until the summer. Yeah. So we've always only had him for a short period of time. And, you know, when you...
There's a league to be won. Play your best players, you know.
Yeah, and when you loan a player, often it's written into the loan contract various aspects about getting the guy to play. You know, we've got Doohan and Hazard out on loan.
Yeah,
And I'm quite sure I'm pretty certain it's written into the deal that they should be starting games, and if they're not starting games, we get to bring them back.
Yeah, or we pay a penalty fee or something.
Yeah,
or,
something like yeah. that. So, I don't
think Johnson was the issue. I think the issue at the minute is the middle of the park. I think we're too slow, predictable, ponderous. I think McGregor brought a bit more urgency, but I still think he's better in the deeper line role than Brown.
I mean, I think to some extent that's a... part of that's a consequence of our injuries.
Yeah,
you know, we've got no Rogic. You know, McGregor, that's his first game back in the last four. Christie's injured. Incham's injured. You know, so I suppose a part of it's a consequence of that.
Yeah. So you could argue that the players who... the most likely players that should be playing midfield are all the ones that are out, apart from McGregor, who's just come back. You know, because I like Cham, although he's had an indifferent season and then been out for injured quite a lot, I still think there's a really good player in there. Mm-hmm. If he can get his head right, I think he plays quicker, he plays more through passes to the fullbacks better, and he can score a goal as well. Christie's pretty dynamic, and Rogic is Rogic, you know, he'll pull it out of the bag from anywhere. I just think previous week we had Brown and Beaton, which I know we're kind of limited in how many players we've got, so I can understand why they played, but I think once again that proved that against the better teams that partnership just doesn't work. But I think to be fair to Dundee, I think they defended really well. They were resolute. They were, you know, they sort of sat on the 18-yard box and basically said, get in behind us or try and come through us. And I think we've rarely done that, to be honest.
So there was the Edouard goal.
Yes.
Which is, you know, it's... I remember saying in this on the podcast, and I think me and I have discussed it. If you look at Champions League games that are tight, that finish... invariably, if there's teams wins by a goal, that goal scored by the most expensive guy in the park.
Yeah,
you know, that's where it gets you. And I suppose that's where you're getting Edouard. You know, didn't do too much in the game, but he created and more or less created and scored the goal.
He scored. I keep seeing the price tag getting brought up. I keep seeing things like he's no interested since his mate left and Belly and all this kind of crap. But he's scored a lot of big goals, and that's where I think people from the other side of the city will say Morelos is the best striker, and he's got more goals than anyone in the league, but he doesn't score big goals in big games at big moments.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Edouard is the kind of player, if you leave him in the park for the full game, he will get one chance at a big moment, like against Leipzig, like against Hearts the other week, and then again at the weekend. But he scored a lot more than that. Aberdeen game up at Pittodrie.
Yeah.
He made a massive difference when he came on. So he's got the quality in there. It's just trying to get it. I just don't know if he's an out-and-out number nine. I think he plays well coming from the left. And that's where the goals came from. He's picked it up on the left-hand side.
I mean, for me, it partly depends on if you're playing with a front three.
Yeah.
Who've got movement in different bits of the park, then, you know, you don't really need an out-and-out old-fashioned number nine up front. If you've got those three people moving around, then you know, he's part of that. And I think, you know, if Sinclair's scoring goals, then that's...
takes a bit of the burden.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I just, I think the goal itself was the probably the first time the whole game where we actually had someone run at the defence, which then creates panic, which then sets players free. And in the end, you know, Forrest, it was a good pass. It was just, there was just enough on it where the Dundee player couldn't get a toe to it. He put it out for a corner. And it's a brilliant cutback by Forrest. And then obviously Edwards followed his own run into the box. I've no idea what was going on with Weir and the goalkeeper. I just seen a couple of bodies lying on the line. And
yeah.
I'd half expected something to be called for a free kick, and it didn't come. So it was more relief, you know, than ecstasy, to be honest, when that goal went in. I was, it kind of made up for.
So what did you make, obviously, the in certain parts of the press, the same press who were showing clips of John Robertson running on the park at Tannadice when whoever he manages these days,
Inverness
had scored a winner, and was saying, "Isn't that great? The joy of football, it's just fantastic, isn't it?" What did you make of Neil Lennon's celebration?
I mean, he's a guy wanting to stay in the job. He knows how much this league title means. He knows that this gave a chink of light to Rangers if they don't win the game, and he's going to take all the criticism. So I think it's just sheer relief. At the end of the day, the guy's a Celtic fan. You know, he's a manager first, but he's always a Celtic fan regardless. So I think the same as the Hearts game, I think it just got to a point in the game where you think you're going to drop points and sheer elation takes over. So I don't have any issues with it, to be honest. I think a lot of people have made a lot out of it. I think they just see Celtic as a different standard to everyone else, and we should act accordingly. But football doesn't work that way. It's, you know, we've all lost our shit when we've scored a goal in the dying minutes.
Yeah, I agree with you. I said to someone who asked me about it, you know, I mean, the same sort of point as you, isn't it? Neil Lennon's got a chance of getting the Celtic job, whether it's a 50 or a 30 or 75, whatever it is, I don't know. And so he knows he's got a chance of getting the Celtic job, and he knows that to get the Celtic job, he has got to win the league and probably win the cup, and actually probably needs to win most of the league games as well as win the league and the cup to have a chance of getting the job. So, you know, regardless of Celtic's own position, you know, regardless of us staying at 8 points clear or going 10 points clear, for him personally, I'm sure it's massive.
Yeah, it was a massive moment. He knows that performance, and dropping 2 points 2 weeks in a row, no goals scored 2 weeks in a row, he was going to get it from all angles.
Yep.
Press, fans, there'd probably be questions in the board, all sorts. So
yeah, cause it's not
a massive goal.
It's not only that, people would then go, not only would they say, that's two games in a row where you haven't scored and you've drawn, people would then also say, and of course it was a last minute winner against Kilmarnock, and it was a last minute winner against Hearts.
Yeah.
Have you noticed any difference?
But that last minute winner against Kilmarnock, we still had the previous manager in charge.
Oh, of course, so. Yeah. Have you noticed any difference in the style of play under Lennon?
Yeah, the ball's getting in the box a lot more because it feels like it. Obviously, the goal against Hearts was a chip ball into the box that Boyata had done well to sort of drag Suter away from. But I don't know. I don't know if the players are caught in between what they learned under Rodgers, and maybe, I don't know, Lennon's telling them to get the ball forward a bit quicker. So I don't know. It's just, I don't think we've been playing well in a lot of this season. And I think we are missing our most dynamic players in the midfield. So I think it's a combination of a lot of things. Teams defending well, setting up really defensive. We've not got as much creativity in the midfield. You know, it's maybe some players missing at the back, and I think there's a whole combination of things going on, but I still think we should be playing better than what we turned out on Sunday. I think against Aberdeen are a tough side. They've shown that a lot of times this season. I mean, they've beat Rangers 3 times in Glasgow.
Yeah,
you know, so on their day they're a tough nut. We've only beaten them 1-0 in the cup final, 4-3 up at their place. So it's been tight games all season with them. We've never run away from them. So I definitely think we're missing the likes of Roderick, Cham, Christie. Any one of the three thrown into a midfield three would improve, I think, what we've got just now. So yeah. But what I noticed as well, we brought in Benkovic, and within a few minutes we put him up front and we went three at the back, and I'm thinking to myself, surely if we had that in mind to have a big guy up front, then we've got a new striker that we brought in from Slovakia that we could have threw up front.
Yeah,
I mean, in hindsight everything's worked, we've managed to win the game, but why not put a natural striker up there if we're going to intend to put more crosses in the box? Because I think that happened when Johnny Hayes went to left wing, because he started sort of getting down the line and getting balls into the box. So that was a strange decision, I think.
Yeah, as you say, these are the types of decisions that are sort of glossed over if you win a game.
Yeah.
And then analysed to death if you don't win the game. You know, if you hadn't won the game, people would have been saying, why did you make that substitution when you've got other more straightforward attacking players on the bench? But you win the game and nobody bothers about it.
Lennon could turn around and say, look, we tried a few things, we just couldn't break them down, so we kind of switched up a bit, you know, and in the end it worked. So, you know, that would be the argument, I suppose. But I just looked at it at the time and thought, why are we going with a big central defender up front then? But then Rodgers done that against Salzburg when Benkovic won the penalty. He was put up front for the last 10 minutes. So it must be something that he's done quite a few times in maybe his previous club. So
yeah. So that's the Dundee game. What's your thoughts been of the performances since the departure of Brendan Rodgers? So we obviously had the Hearts game that you mentioned. Then there was the sort of stroll in the cup at Easter Road. Then there was the blanket against Aberdeen at Celtic Park. And then there was this game against Dundee. So what's your thoughts been?
Obviously Lennon's came in at a difficult time. The players have been used to working with a certain manager in a certain way. And then we've got a totally different character, if you want to put. I don't want to say Lennon's a lesser coach, because I don't know, I've never worked with either, but you would imagine that Rodgers is a bit more meticulous, just based on the comments that Lennon made about, you know, some of the stuff that's available to him as compared to when he was there.
Yep.
Now, is that stuff that could have been available to Lennon, but he just didn't think about it, or, you know, it wasn't something that was in his psyche? I don't know. I just think Hearts away is always going to be a tough game. I mean, we've lost twice there under Rodgers in the last sort of year and a bit. We've had a couple of narrow wins there and a couple of big high-scoring wins. So it was Rodgers' style of play that got us into trouble on the night,
yeah,
you know, with the penalty. So I wouldn't lay that at Lennon, because basically he's just in the door that morning. I think the Hearts game, I think he definitely gets a pass. I think we played pretty well on the night, couldn't break them down, and eventually won the game. The Hibs game, I thought we played pretty well second half. But Hibs are a team that like to open up against most teams, and they'll come and have a go. And I just think we just were too good for them on the night.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a decent second half performance. The Aberdeen game, like I said, with injuries, in the midfield, so we're playing with Brown and Beaton, who don't offer much creativity, and I think that's what we lacked on the day. We just didn't have any creative edge, and Aberdeen have shown tough nutty cracks. So it was a frustrating game, because Aberdeen wasted a hell of a lot of time. There was a lot of, you know, 30 seconds to take a goal kick, 40 seconds to take a throw in. It all mounted up throughout the whole game. So
I mean, the only thing I thought...
The thing about the Aberdeen game, though, just quickly, is Lennon had a bit of time that week to sort of prepare. I think he had a week to build up to that game. So you're hoping that some of his thoughts and ideas or maybe some minor changes. I don't think he's going to change a lot, but there might be some minor changes coming in. And I don't know. I just didn't think we were that. We didn't really show that we were ever going to win that game.
I thought against Aberdeen showed zero intention in the first half in particular at Celtic Park to do anything at all. I mean, I know they're coming to Glasgow and they're wanting to not lose, but I just thought it was an abysmal first half performance by Aberdeen.
Yeah.
And the only thing I thought was, you know, against Dundee, I heard Lennon being interviewed after the Dundee game where he talked about for the last 10 minutes we were virtually playing with one at the back.
Yeah.
And he said, well, there's no point in having people at the back if the opposition have no intention of doing it. And I thought the substitutions, if you remember, Lennon made a double substitution against Aberdeen at half time, and I felt that that's where part of the problem for our second half performance came, because he made the substitution based on the fact that Aberdeen weren't wanting to cross the halfway line in the first half.
Yeah.
The problem was that Aberdeen also made a substitution at half time and decided that they were going to think about maybe crossing the halfway line.
Yeah.
Which then meant, and in order to do that, they had more players in the middle of the park, and we'd just taken people off and stuck all these forwards on. So we had...
And Sinclair's got a really good record against Aberdeen, and we took him off.
Yeah, and then, but we ended up with four people who want to be strikers up front, and there was quite a number of occasions where we had the ball, you know, 40 yards from their goal, and there was no movement, because it was just completely static.
Yeah.
It was a line of four forwards right across the edge of their box. So... I mean, that was one thing that I did think he made an error with in the substitutions in that game. And I do have to say, the substitutions against Dundee, I was surprised at, put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I think that's where managers sort of get their inner corn, is on the substitutions and the tactical changes they make during a game. Any manager can get a formation or a lineup wrong, but it's how they fix it as they go along is where they're usually judged. And I think we were weaker in the second half against Aberdeen based on making two substitutions at half time. And I don't like the two substitutions at half time, maybe one, but I think two, I think you're showing your hand too quickly.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think if you're having an abysmal first half, you know, like in the famous 6-2 game, where Avocat made substitutions quickly. If you've been utterly annihilated and you just have to change it, otherwise you're going to end up getting an absolute doing, I can see why you would make two changes at half time. But I agree with you. I always think if you make two changes at half time, you're really a bit of a hostage to fortune if it doesn't work.
Especially if, say, a fullback gets injured, all of a sudden, you know, any further subs that you wanted to make up front are now out the window because you've had to sort of, you know, sub the guy who's just been injured. I think maybe one sub at half time, but you know, I don't know. I think we've looked a bit ponderous over the last couple of weeks. Since in the comments already, we've had comments from Lennon talking about fatigue and tiredness, and I hate that. But not just any manager, because footballers will grab onto any excuse.
I mean, throw at them. A couple of things. I mean, I do think there's obviously going to be the I get the impression from what's been said and that Lennon's coming in and trying not to change things, right?
Yeah.
And I've heard football fans before when a manager's changed him, well, he didn't need to do anything, didn't need to change it. But Lennon will have his own philosophy and his own style of coaching. So it's really difficult to come in. And even if it's roughly the same as Brendan Rodgers, it's not going to be the identical stuff.
No.
So it must be really, so it's really difficult for a manager to come in and decide he's not going to change that much, because he's not going to then be himself.
Yeah. And you'll probably get some players who maybe loved Rodgers training sessions, and they'll go, yeah, this isn't the same as the last guy, and I'm not really seeing the point of why we're doing this kind of thing. So there might be a wee bit of that, and I suppose the uncertainty, this guy's a caretaker, you know. Some guys are on loan, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing I was going to say. You've got guys on loan, so there's their uncertainty. You've got a temporary manager, so it's that uncertainty. You've got the
guys
fact
coming out of contract as well.
So. We've more or less won the league.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of challenges of getting it over. Plus, the whole turmoil of a manager that they all greatly believed in. But it's something you touched on there about Lennon saying fatigue, and it was after the Hibs game, because I'd noted after his first game at Tynecastle, Lennon being interviewed, and Lennon was saying, oh, it was tiring and emotional, and he was a bit nervous and a bit concerned and a bit excited about being Celtic manager. And then he was asked about going to Pittodrie, Easter Road, and he said the same thing, similar type of thing, you know. Well, it was a mixture of nerves and excitement and trepidation of going back to Easter Road.
I think it was maybe, I could give him a pass on the Hibs one because he's going back to a place he's literally just left a month ago, you know, under a degree of uncertainty for all of us. Obviously, he'll know exactly what's went on, but, you know.
But what it got me thinking about was, in the last 20 years, the two Celtic managers who, for me, have made the same players play very differently have been Martin O'Neill and Brendan Rodgers.
Yeah.
And the thing that struck me about Lennon using, I'm not that into, you know how in business you're not supposed to say you've had a shite day, you're supposed to say you've had a challenging day and all that type of thing. You're not supposed to think, how are you doing? Not bad. You're not supposed to use negative chat and negative words, right? So I'm not that into that type of stuff. However, I do think it can have an impact that if the guy who's in charge permanently comes across as being massively self-confident and also massively confident in you as someone who works for him, that will have an impact on people.
Yeah.
And it was just, when he was using that, he was nervous and there was trepidation and that type of language, I thought, but you know what? Martin O'Neill and Brendan Rodgers would never use, if they were asked, even if Celtic were playing Liverpool, if Brendan Rodgers was asked the same question, we're a bit nervous about going back to Anfield, for example. I think Brendan Rodgers would probably say something like, well, it's one of those things, you know, when you revisit somewhere, you always have a mixture of emotions, but I suppose the overriding emotion was excitement about the prospect of my players playing. Do you know what I mean? As opposed to, yes, I was very nervous and I was also a bit of trepidation, a bit of excitement. They would convey the same message but without using any of those negative words.
Yeah.
And I may be looking, analysing it too much and looking too much, but it was just, I thought that is the difference between Brendan Rodgers and Martin O'Neill and other people we've had in the last 20 years. This permanent portrayal of ultimate self-confidence that they had.
Yeah. And I think that did transpire for a long time onto the players, you know. That's why we went a season undefeated with Ronnie Dyla's team, plus Dembele and one or two others, you know, Sinclair. You know, that after that Rangers game at Hampden, where we lost in penalties, if you said to me that day that most of those players out there are going to win an undefeated treble a year later, you would never have believed it in a million years.
No.
But it's just self-belief get put in that 100% belief in the guy who's telling them how good they are and
yeah, and that's my thing. I think when you're dealing with people, you know, what's going to make, we've already got the best players, the best squad in the league, and tactics and the way that they are, you know, and which one of them you put out in the park and the way you organise them on the pitch will have a massive difference. But for me, at that level of, certainly in a domestic league game, that level of eliteness, that extra 5% is going to come from this, that 5-10% is going to come from the self-belief that's instilled upon them by the guy who's in charge.
Yeah, and sometimes even guys at that level or players at that level still need reminded every now and again of how good they are, and that's why they're at a big club playing in front of 60,000 people. Yeah. Don't forget that, you know. So, yeah.
So we're going to win the league.
I think he's language. I think he's an old school manager, and sometimes he says a bit too much. I think he's too honest, or he needs to maybe learn to word things differently. He can say the exact same thing, but just use, like you said, just change a few of the words, and it sounds a completely different interview. Yeah.
So we're going to win the league, and you know we'll probably win it the first game after the split. And so we've really only got the cup. So already, I think it's reasonable to think about, do you think Lennon's going to get this job full time?
Well, my honest answer is I don't know. I thought when he first came in and we beat Hearts, I started to think to myself, this is his, you know, job, unless he royally screws it up. Mm-hmm. But I sat and thought about it, and I thought, it didn't matter who we brought in as temporary manager. Even if John Kennedy was brought in as the temporary manager or made up to temporary manager, he would have still been expected to win the league and the Scottish Cup.
Yeah.
Because everybody's... I don't think it would have mattered who took that position. They would have been expected to get those two other trophies, to get the treble. And the way I see that is, would they have got the manager's job if they won that? You know, you could have brought back Ronnie Dyler and just see you at the league, try and win the Scottish Cup. But nobody would be clamouring for him to get the job.
No.
And that's where my thought process is. Now, I think, for me, if Lennon gets it, mm-hmm. I think he should get it on the basis that he doesn't fuck up the league, which I don't think he will.
No.
Obviously, he's got to get past Aberdeen and probably Hearts to win the Cup,
yep.
Which wouldn't be easy, you know. So, and anything can happen on any given day. But the way I see, if Lennon gets the job, I just hope it's because we've went round everybody that we wanted to speak to, and Lennon was the guy, the best guy who actually wanted the job. You know, there's, you can approach guys like Marco Rose or, you know, or any other name you want to throw out there, but if they say, that's not really for me, then I don't want them in, you know. But if Lennon is the best candidate that actually wants the job, then fair enough. That's kind of the way I see it.
I think the sort of challenge for the club is, I really do think, even if at the moment they're thinking it's a 75% chance that they're going to have Lennon as manager next season, even if they're in that mindset, I think it's beholden upon them to make sure we get the best candidate and to make sure there's not somebody better kicking around.
Yeah.
And the challenge, of course, with that is the negativity that can be spun if it leaks out that we've spoken with people when Lennon's in the job.
Yeah. Well, I don't see that being a negative. I think it's Celtic doing their due diligence.
Yeah, but you know how
But I know how it's spun, yeah.
Lennon, what do you make of the fact that other people have gained...
You were in the job, but you weren't the first choice.
Yeah, other people are getting offered the job while you're still in the job. What do you think of that?
Yeah.
I mean, for me...
Well, I noticed Marco Rose has said something today.
Has he?
About... Somebody retweeted it, and I'll see if I can find it while you chat.
No, so I was going to say
what you were going to say.
For me, the sort of positive side of Lennon being there at the moment is, you know what the worst case scenario is going to be.
Yeah, the worst case scenario is Neil Lennon gets the job.
Yeah.
So apparently, Mark Rose said today, I think it's not so often in your career that you have a lot of requests and then you have a lot of options. I know what I owe the club, obviously Salzburg, and yet at some point it's in my personal situation about goals, about new challenges, and about making a decision. So that could be about anything. That could be about, you know,
yeah,
Schalke or Hoffenheim or any of these kind of big sort of German clubs looking for a new manager, because he's German, as far as I'm aware. So, but it's interesting that he's making comments about potentially moving on from Salzburg after they've just went out of the Europa League. So
I think Schalke in Germany are one of the teams that are supposedly interested in him.
Yeah, but they're not an absolute state, to be honest. So, and it's a bit of a poison chalice, that job. I think they've been through quite a few managers recently. So, I just want If winning gets it in the end, then fair enough. But I just want Celtic to go through the process. That's because if we can attract a guy like Brendan Rodgers, whose previous job was Liverpool, I think you've got to try and get the best guy out there. I mean, there's some big names out there with real good pedigree actually out of job. The guy who was at Madrid, the former Spain manager, Lopetegui, he's out of work. Mm-hmm. Philippe Cocu didn't last too long at Fenerbahce, but was 4 or 5 years at PSV, won numerous titles there. So I want us to look at guys who have won titles maybe in other leagues if it's not Neil Lennon. Because somebody like David Moyes who's never won anything, you know.
I suppose if you're the board, nobody wants to be the people who are responsible for not winning 10 in a row.
Yeah.
So the benefit of Neil Lennon is he's been Celtic manager before. He's, you know, he's more mature now than he was then. He's got more experience in other places. You know what you're going to get with Neil Lennon. He knows how to deliver the title at Celtic. And so...
Well, I was going to say, I could throw back at you that would be going for 10 in a row if he didn't mess up the 2010-11 season.
Yeah, so there's other ways of looking at it. I mean, personally, yeah, I'm the same as you. I would actually like to think we could get someone of the same stature, ability, reputation that Brendan Rodgers was, which I'm not criticising Neil Lennon, but I would suggest that that's above where Neil Lennon is and has been. Yeah. You know, somebody listening to this, Neil Lennon, if he was listening to this, might turn around and say, yeah, but put me back in and I'll deliver that, you know.
Yeah.
But
I think he's one season in the Champions League reaching the last 16, I think, clouds a lot of what really went on in these European adventures. Because his first season, he went out in the qualifiers to Utrecht from a 2-0 home victory to a 4-0 defeat away. Second season, he got in the back door with Sion being disqualified for ineligible players because of a transfer ban or something. I think we finished we only won one game and four draws, maybe.
Yeah.
Three draws, in that group. It was a tough group, don't get me wrong, with Rennes and Atletico Madrid and Udinese. Third season was obviously the outstanding season, but we were in a group with two clubs who are our peers, you could say, in Spartak Moscow and Benfica, which you and Mark obviously covered recently. Would this current Celtic side get out a group like that, you know? Because, yeah, I don't know, maybe not, but we'd guys like Wanyama and stuff like that, but...
Yeah.
And then obviously the fourth European season, he got to the Champions League, beating Shakhtar Karagandy the last minute, and then won and then lost five games out of six in a pretty tough group, to be fair. So I don't know. I think his European record is held higher than that. I look at it across the board. I think he had one outstanding season and two average and one really poor. I don't know. I'll keep going back to it. I just want Celtic to
get the best they can.
To try and get the best they can. And if that Brendan Rodgers level manager isn't out there, then I think Lennon will be a fairly safe pair of hands. But, you know, we'll see.
Okay, well, we're recording this and we're in the middle of the lull of an international weekend, so...
Yeah, but nothing happens.
And hopefully I will get another podcast out before the next home game, which is 31st of March against the Rangers. But I might not, so if I don't, in case I don't,
we can fill our next week and a half by rerunning the Steve Coogan IRA singing.
Exactly.
That will keep us all entertained. I quoted the video and copied Tom English in it, asking him, does the BBC need strict liability for these IRA songs? So
I've had enough of Tom on that. Anyway, so on to the Rangers game. it's looking like Ncham, maybe even Rogic, McGregor, Benkovic, Boyata will be fit by that game.
Yeah.
So what would your team be for that game? If they're all fit. I don't think Christie will be fit.
No, I think my team will be different from Lennon's team.
We'll go with what
but,
your team
but
would
what
be.
I would go with is obviously Bain. Mm-hmm. But before I move on, what's happened to Craig Gordon?
Lennon says he's got an injury. He's had a reaction to an injection he got in his knee.
Oh, right, okay.
So,
because I'd heard a rumour he had words with Lennon about something, but I don't know how true that was.
I don't know.
Okay. Aye, so Bain, I would go with Toljan ahead of Lustig. I think I don't think there's much between them, but I think Lustig's too slow.
I tell you what, I think Toljan demonstrates. You know, when the problem with going to places like Germany or England or established leagues to buy a player.
Yeah.
You buy, you know, because his value is allegedly £6 million. Is he dramatically better than Lustig?
No.
No,
anyway. I think on the previous performance, I think if Kent is running rings around Lustig again, I think Lustig's sore back might kick in by half time. And I don't think that's a substitution we should be wasting that position. So I'd go with Toljan. Is Boyata going to be fit for that game?
I think Boyata will be fit, and I think Benkovic will be fit, and I think Ayer will be fit. So imagine they are fit.
If they are fit, you've got to go with your best defence, and that's Boyata and Benkovic.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ayer goes to ground too easy, and I think he's too useful with his hands, and you only need to touch Morelos and he's down.
Yeah.
So I think, as much as I think Ayer's going to be a good player in time, I think he's still got some things in him that cause problems and cause us problems. So I'd go with Benkovic and Boyata, and obviously Tierney, the other fullback. Midfield, I think it'd be too early to bring Cham back, possibly. And if it's either Cham or Rogic, who are now fit again, I would go with McGregor, Brown, and Rogic.
Okay.
I'd go with Sinclair, Forrest, and I'd go with Edward. And I think, so that's the 11, but I think you'll probably find Burke coming on late or second half for possibly Forrest. So.
Okay, and what do you think the score's going to be?
I'm going to say 3-1.
Because I was just thinking about this at the Dundee game. In 2019, domestically, we have conceded a penalty and a goal where Motherwell cheated.
Yeah. So I think the custom way, I don't think Rangers have had a penalty for a few weeks, so I think there might be one due. But I think Celtic will start fast. I think we'll maybe be a couple up by half time. They maybe bring one back and then we'll win it with them pushing on. That's kind of the way I see it.
Right, okay.
But I fancy us to win the game, and then that's pretty much it, done and dusted. There's no way back for that. Even a draw, do you know what? Even a draw still kills the title for me.
Yeah, but the title's long gone.
Yeah.
Because for them to win
it. They can't win three games in a row.
No, and the big thing is their record against top six teams is pretty poor, and they have got to play for the remainder of the season. Celtic, they play Celtic away, Hearts at home, Motherwell away, and then they play the top six.
Yeah.
So they then got to go to Pittodrie, Tynecastle.
No, they've been to Aberdeen twice.
What?
They've beaten Aberdeen twice. They beat them 4-2 and they drew one each at the start of the season.
But it's one of the, right. So that means, because it's, I was just assuming they've lost a league game. Oh, it was the cup they played.
Scottish Cup, they lost to Aberdeen.
Yeah, so that's right. Yeah, but they still got to play Aberdeen. They must need to go to Rugby Park.
Yes.
Because, yeah, so that's where it is. It's Rugby Park. They'll be going to Tynecastle. So, good chance. We could probably win the league and only win another game or so left in the league. Because they're not going to win games. Anyway, so you're going with 3-1, and I then think the big dilemma for the league's going to be when to play the Celtic Rangers game after this.
Ibrox.
Ibrox.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's the second last game, because by that time the title's
because there's a
done.
Good chance that we will either that we going into that split, there's a good chance that if we play them first up, we could win the league.
Yeah.
And if we blow it that day, we'll win it the second game.
Yeah. I think it'll be the second last game, so they then don't have to give us a guard of honour either.
Well, I think it'll be 2-0 against the Rangers. I don't think we'll concede.
Yeah.
But I think it'll probably be the team that you've gone through. Anyway, with that, I will say, Stephen, thanks very much.
You're welcome. Thanks again.
Bring me sunshine in your smile.
So I hope you enjoyed that podcast. As I always say, there'll be more podcasts along soon. As I said in the podcast, hopefully there'll be one out before the 31st of March game against the other Glasgow team. Don't forget, there's plenty of Celtic FC Foundation stuff going around that you can contribute to and ensure that the best and most successful football charity division in the whole of the UK continues to be the best and most successful charity division of any football club in the whole of the UK. There is the Golf Day coming up in June. I think there's one or two places left. There's various other things. So go on Celtic FC Foundation's website and you'll see what there is, what you can do. You don't have to do anything officially through the foundation, one of their fundraisers. You can do whatever you want for fundraising and nominate the Celtic FC Foundation as your chosen charity and be stunned and amazed at the fantastic work that they do. If you want to find out more, just drop them an email and they'll tell you more of the brilliant work they do. It really is breathtaking. Anyway, enough of me. That was me, Harry Brady, with him, Stephen Ray, and you can find his Twitter at TheBoyRay, obviously all one word, TheBhoyRay. So if you've and you can go on our website and you can download old podcasts. Quite a lot of people downloaded the old Jock Brown and Fergus McGann podcasts from the 25th anniversary. So that's me, Harry Brady, saying good night and God bless. Good night.
There should be more happiness, so much joy you can give. 2 weeks brand new, bright tomorrow, make me happy through the years. Never bring me any tears. Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love, sweet love. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring